Linden Radio. This is Manuel James Delgado, and you're listening to The Manny Show. So it is officially December, so we can do a bunch of Christmas stuff today. And in the studio, I have my sidekick, Santa. Hello.
Hey.
Hello, sidekick wife.
How?
Yeah. And our follower, our roadie, Miss Dahlia Ann. Say hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yes. Welcome to The Manny Show. This next hour is going to be in English, and we're here for you guys. We just want to encourage you, equip you, edify you with the Word of God through music, through testimony, through a subject that we're going to be talking about. We have something new every week that we talk about, and this week we're going to be sharing a little bit about boundaries and why do we need them, and are they even from God? So we hope you enjoy this time, whether you're listening on the radio or you are tuning in via Facebook live stream. You can comment and let us know what you think we're talking about. Just interact with us and share your thoughts. You can also send us a song request, a prayer request. We'd love to pray for you, and we would love to play some songs that God's put in your heart to listen to. And if you're local, you can also text us at 521377. Very good. Santa, do you have a song for us to start off this Christmas cheer?
I do. And I have two favorite Christmas songs, and this is one of them. And it's Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
Mm-hmm. And it's also DC Talk, right?
Yeah, he was in DC Talk, and then he became a solo artist.
Right.
Just Michael Tate. And this is when he sang the song, and then now they kind of like put Newsboys in over it, I guess. But
you're not too happy about that, or?
Well, it's his song. Anyways, yeah, okay. It's a great song, and it's so whimsical and Christmassy that you have to be in the Christmas spirit after you hear it.
Awesome. So we hope, don't turn off the radio if you're tired of hearing Christmas music already.
No, because this one is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Here it's cold tonight. The moon is bright. There's magic in the air. You can be sure around the world they're singing everywhere. Oh, chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. Offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas. of toys and goodies on its sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
That doesn't put you in the Christmas spirit.
Woo!
I don't know what does. If you're just listening on the radio, God has saved you from so much right now. Because we're kind of like going a little bit Christmassy.
Crazy.
Craziness in here. Dahlia's on the chair doing her Christmas dance. If you're on Facebook Live, well, yes. May the peace of the Lord come
excuse
over
us.
You. Nice. So, just so you know, this whole month, we're going to be playing a bunch of different Christmas songs on our radio show and just getting into the spirit, because it's a great month just to, like, yeah, be free to express joy and family time, and it's just so much fun.
And, so, like, in December, it's okay to listen to Christmas music.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, it's maybe not okay.
It's a bit weird.
But Christmas is December, or December is Christmas, mm-hmm. So you have to listen to Christmas music.
Like, I'm sure they have this tradition amongst white people in America, but I'm Mexican-American, you know? So we never grew up with this whole calendar thing, where you open up like a...
Oh, yeah, the chocolate calendars.
Yeah, the chocolate calendars for every day, and this year we bought one for our kids, but it's with Disney books.
Yeah. A small book every day.
Yeah, so much fun. And we did Zootropolis last night.
Oh, I wanted to see that one, or yeah. Listen to it.
We'll read it to you, Mama.
Thank you.
Don't worry. But I think these are like fun traditions. And then one year we did something where it was every Advent, every Sunday, we had a present for them, a small present for them to open up to yeah. Christmas. Never grew up with that stuff. We just, you know.
Last year we did treasure hunts every day.
Yeah. Yeah, we did treasure hunts. The only thing we went hunting for was beans. Beans and tortillas, man.
But it
my
is
mom
good.
Would say, I got a present for you. And she'd like wrap some beans in a tortilla and said, okay, open it. Sorry, Mom.
Jokes aside.
Okay, so today we're talking about boundaries.
Uh-oh.
Such a taboo of a word.
Yeah.
So... Okay, I'll try and define boundaries first, and then I want to hear your thoughts on what you think
okay.
the importance of boundaries are. So I was trying to explain to Dahlia different ways on, you know, what are boundaries, because I wanted to hear what her thoughts about them were. And I think the first one I just says, okay, you know, like every house has a fence around it, and you know that inside that fence, those boundaries, this is your home, this is your safe haven, you can play and do what you like. People walking by, they know that that's not their house, so they don't just go walking in and stuff like that. So that's kind of like what boundaries are. And then I also said, and another one is kind of like, you know, you're walking down the street, you don't necessarily, hopefully, have to worry about a car driving on where you're walking.
On the sidewalk.
Yeah, on the sidewalk, because that's not where cars are supposed to drive, and vice versa. You know that you're not supposed to just walk in the middle of the street, because that's where cars drive, and it keeps you safe. But yet you're still able to go in a direction, you know? So that's kind of what boundaries are in general. So Santa dear, do you think boundaries are important and why?
Well, immediately when people hear boundaries, then they think of something that's bad. Like you have boundaries from something that's bad.
Mm.
But boundaries is, I think it's important to have boundaries in all aspects of our life, because
right.
when people have boundaries, they feel safe. And like you see it from when people are, like, from when we're babies and everything, like, you, when you're a toddler, you might, like, you know, you have rules, and you know you have these rules, and then sometimes you like to try and see how far you can get without, or until your parents tell you to come back to where you're supposed mm-hmm. to be or do yeah. what you're supposed to do yeah. and stuff. But if we didn't have boundaries, the kids wouldn't have the freedom or wouldn't feel safe enough to try and do anything, you
test
know?
Test those like, boundaries.
Test it. Yeah, but if there were no boundaries and the kid ran out to the street, for instance, the kid might not know the first time that it's scary and that it's dangerous, but as soon as a car comes, they will figure out that it's dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it's really, if we don't have boundaries, it's hard to see what's good for us and what's dangerous for us.
Right.
And where is the limit between those two?
Yeah.
So I really think that boundaries are good, even though we like, as people, we like to break boundaries and we like to like step on someone else's boundaries. And it's, I don't know why, but it's exciting. But we wouldn't we wouldn't think it was exciting if we didn't know we were safe already.
Yeah, in the boundaries that we already
within our own boundaries
already have.
Yeah.
I can't remember which kid it was, but I remember them wanting to run away, you know, and they didn't leave the driveway.
Yeah,
and they just stood on the very edge because they knew that they weren't supposed to play in the street. So they just were mad at us, and so they went to the end of the street. But they knew, oh, this is where I have to stay. I can't go any further.
Yeah, we saw a video of a little boy that wanted to run away from home, and the parent was like, okay, I'll pack your bag. And, like, of course, she knew he wasn't going to go very far. But she gave him his backpack with the lunch and stuff in it, and then he got to the sidewalk, and the mom followed him, and she's like, why are you standing there? Because he just stood there. And he's like, well, you told me not to cross the street without holding an adult's hand.
So will you help me run away?
Yeah. And because he knows that that rule is there for his safety.
Yeah.
You know, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it in the car, that we read this or heard or whatever, this research that they did on kids at school. And they decided to take off the fence line of the school where the kids go for their break time for their recess and see if they would go past those fence lines to go and play, you know, because they were, you know, you would think, oh, they can only play in this area. And they, you know, they're always hanging on the fences, wanting to see what's on the other side. Mm-hmm. So they took off the fence lines. And when the kids went out to go play, they stopped and they were like, they were weirded out. They're like, what's going on here? And they didn't even go past like the entryway of the school. They were just hanging out there the whole time. They didn't dare go any further because they didn't know where the borders were.
Yeah.
So then the next day they put them back and they went back to normal where they were running all over the place, hanging on the fences, climbing the fences and stuff like that. But it's just, it creates some sort of safety for you to have fun. Isn't that kind of cool?
Yeah, I think it's like also, like people say, if you do something new or if you like do something unexpected or whatever, then you're considered brave. You know, like, oh, you're so brave, you dare to do that, you know? Not necessarily anything wrong, just something new. Yeah. But you can't build up a brave spirit if you're not safe, if you don't feel safe. So, and those boundaries are what make you safe or feel the protection of those boundaries so that you can build your character, build your brave spirit and brave, like, your freedom within that little...
Yeah.
Your boundaries, and then you can always expand. Like when you grow up, then your boundaries are not the schoolyard or your boundaries are not the fence of your own home, but your boundaries are become more of a lifestyle or, like who you are as a person.
And then when you want to extend your boundaries, you do it in a healthy way instead of a...
Because you know how good or what it is to have boundaries. You know that it's better for you, so... You keep boundaries, even though it's not the same ones as when you were small.
That is spot on, Miss Sana. I like that. So what are your thoughts? Do you think boundaries are safe? Are they healthy for us? Why or why not? Feel free to comment on what we're talking about. You can text us if you're local at 521377. What's that number, Sana?
521377.
She says it more clear than I. And you can also write on our Facebook live stream. Thank you, everyone that's joining us. Got people from Denmark. Ina, a good friend of ours. Tor Arna, the face of Linden. He's checking up, make sure we're not talking anything heresy, I guess. Just playing. And some other friends. Hello, both Mama Delgado and Mama Grandma Messenger. Both grandmas are on. Can you believe it, Dahlia? Very cool. So, Dahlia, so do you think boundaries are important for you to have?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why?
Because if we didn't have boundaries, then something had happened.
Yeah.
Something bad.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. So you better listen to us. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to go ahead and play a song, and then we'll go into... I found some scriptures and some stories about boundaries and the benefits of them. And then, yeah, we'll go further into that. So we're going to play another Christmas song, which we have so many. I think I'm going to play Seasons by Hillsong Worship. And this is from their album Seasons. Here you go.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal, from sea to sequoia. I know, though the winter is long, even richer than the harvest it brings, though my waiting prolongs even greater, your promise. I believe that my season will come. Lord, I think of your love like the long winter sun, and as I gaze, I am the sake of us all, from Bethlehem soil grew Calvary Sequoia.
That was from Hillsong Worship, Seasons, Tis the Season to Be Jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Should I make an album, Dahlia? A Christmas album?
Don't do it.
Not cool at all. All right, so welcome back to The Manny Show. If you're just tuning in, we're talking today about boundaries and the importance of them. And we just basically talked about boundaries in our everyday life. But I kind of wanted to go into it because I was inspired by a devotion I was having that boundaries can actually help us fulfill the calling on our life, the vision that God has for our life. So I think it's Proverbs somewhere. It says that without a vision, the people perish. So The vision means a prophetic word, and a prophetic word is actually God speaking to you. You know, it's God's very word speaking life into your current situation. So if we're not listening to Him and respecting the life and the environment that He's putting around us, we're never going to actually be able to enjoy life and life to the fullest, like Jesus says. I come to give life and life to the fullest, which is really interesting because a lot of people say that Christianity has so many boundaries and so many rules, and it's just,
right.
You know, have you heard that before?
Yeah.
What's your reaction when people say that?
Well, people say Christianity is don't do this and don't do that, you know, and I'm like, yes, you can look at it that way, because it does say a lot, you shouldn't do this or you should do that and stuff, or don't, because something bad will happen, But
especially when Jesus, like, you know, if you even look at a woman lustfully, pluck that eye out. You know, it's just some crazy stuff.
And like, yes, I think those rules, they need to be there because, but I also think like right now how do you say it? Like back then when all those things were written and said and stuff, people really needed the guidance in like a tougher way, I think, because you couldn't just look back on history and see what was good and what was bad. You could, like, not as easily as now and stuff. And because before Jesus died, there was no Holy Spirit to guide people. So it sounds really tough and stuff, and like, you do this or else, you know, because that was the way he could, like, inform them of what is a good life and how he wanted us to live. Now, we still shouldn't do those things that says in the Bible we shouldn't and everything. And all those things are still valid, you know.
Right.
But now I think the guidance that we get from the Holy Spirit in our life or in our hearts make us maybe not the same way want to do those things. Or we have an easier time knowing what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, because the Holy Spirit is in us, telling us all the time. So through our life, we naturally listen to Him, you know, without being told.
Compels us to want to do something right.
Yeah.
But I mean, even like most of our Western world countries, including the one we're in right now, is built on Christian values, you know, because Christian people who feared and loved and enjoyed the freedom they had in Christ realized we need these boundaries so that we can enjoy the freedoms that come with it.
Yeah.
And that scripture that I quoted where Jesus says, I come to give life and life to the fullest, before he says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's the devil that doesn't want us to have boundaries. Just live life the way you want to. What's truth?
Everybody's, who
cares? Yeah, everybody's truth is truth. And there's not just one way to a God. There's many different ways. Find your own way. You know, all these different things that kind of like make a map of chaos in our life with no real direction. We're just running in circles like a chicken without a head. It runs around for a while. It's dead, but the body doesn't know it yet. It's just running around, just like blop, you know? And Jesus is saying, I don't give all these this criteria of a holy life to limit you, but to give you life and life to the fullest.
And I think, like, yes, we have a lot of rules in the, like, in the religion, and so do most religions, or all of them, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But people, I think that people that do not like Christianity, or are not Christians, or not, like, not religious in any way, or whatever they want to call it, they think that our rules are bad and hold us down and make us not live life and whatever. But I think I see a lot that people that have Jesus have a more deep meaning with life.
Yeah.
And so, like, if things go bad, or if something happens, or whatever, you are still, like, you still have the faith. Mm. And that will always be, like, something that pulls you up over your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And so you become optimistic. Like, it's going to be okay, because I know that God is here for me and stuff. So your life, you're actually more free in life, because you're not scared of the things that are holding us down. You're not scared of things that can come in our way and stuff. Yeah. Where people that are not saved, I don't... Like, I've noticed that they can very easily become sad, or very easily become, like, depressed and stuff, because there's no higher power holding you up, you know? Like, you don't see it. He is... I believe that God is still, like, holding people up, even though they don't believe in Him. And they just need to...
Realize where their source is coming from.
Yeah, but it's easier to feel down if you don't have anyone pulling you up.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, lifting you up. No, pulling out of the water.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
But, so I don't see it as something that can hold us down. No, I think that the boundaries in Christianity, or in religion, or whatever, gives you more freedom to live a happy life.
Yeah, and it's not to say that you won't have different types of attacks on your life, sicknesses and losing, you know, loved ones, and all of those things. We're all going to go through and experience it. But like you said, we have our Creator, who is pulling us through that, lifting us up, letting us know that He's with us through all of this.
Yeah.
You know, and at times, you know, He'll help us in the storm. And at times, He'll lift us above the storm.
And at other times, He'll just hold on to us until the storm is over.
Yeah, yeah. And we just always need to know that we have a good and faithful Father that knows what's best for us and for our future.
And at the same time, I'm not saying that people without faith can't be happy. And I'm not saying that they can't live a good life.
No.
I don't say that they don't have any meaning in life. Yeah. I'm not saying that, any of those things.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's easier to feel like the lack of those things if you're not a believer.
Mm-hmm. And even when, if you really have had an awesome revelation of this relationship that you have with God, and not just as a rule maker, but it's a relationship, and you don't have all the things that you desire yet in life, for your family, for your future, for your education, whatever it is, you know, you don't feel like you're lacking, because you feel fulfilled in Him. Whereas if you don't, you find your fulfillment in your accomplishments and the things that you've experienced. And if you haven't experienced it, you don't feel complete. If you don't have that certain thing that you've desired all your life, that education, that big home, traveling around the world, whatever it is, if you don't have that yet, you don't feel complete until you have that. Whereas if you thoroughly enjoy and know who you are in Christ and have a relationship with Him, then as you're journeying in life, you already feel fulfilled, because
everything's just extra.
Yeah. Like, those are extra
bonuses. Bounty points.
Yeah. Extra bounty points. I like that. So one story in the Bible, it's just a prayer, and it's the prayer of Jabez. I really love this one. And Jabez, it's actually, his name means pain, because the mother gave birth and it was a painful birth, and that's why she called her son. So imagine growing up knowing that your name means that I bring pain to people. But anyways, through his natural circumstances, he still seeked God and found God's blessing. And so he prayed to God this prayer. And he says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory, expand my boundaries." You know, he knew that God was the only one that can do it in the right way, because he wanted the blessing of the extending his territory, his boundary. He wanted to only come from God and not from himself and not from anyone else. Mm-hmm. And he said, because if you do it, then your hand will be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from the pain that I was born into. He was born into a lifestyle of pain. People just, oh, there's Jabez. There's the one that brings pain. Stay away from him. But he knew that his identity was in God. His blessing was from God. And everything that he had came from God. And so when we live that lifestyle, despite our circumstances, what we've been through, what we were born into, when we look to God for our blessing and our boundaries, we know that it will be blessed and that it will help us through our pain and redefine us, and his hand will always be with us. That's pretty awesome.
So good.
Yeah. I like that. Thank you, Jabez, for praying that so many years ago. All right, we're going to play another Christmas song.
Hey.
And then we'll talk a little bit more about this. I wrote on Facebook, people. Whoa, what happened here? Close. I wrote a question. I said, do you think boundaries
are a God thing?
Are a God thing. Let us know what you think about that. If you're on Facebook Live, you can respond and tell us what you think. And if you're local and you're in the car and you just want to pull over to the side and not text while you're driving or at home, go ahead and send us a text at 521377. And the next song we're going to sing is, let's see, Away in a Manger by one of my favorite artists, Kim Walker Smith. Here it is, Away in a Manger. Away in a Manger by Kim Walker Smith and her album When Christmas Comes. So, yes, if you're just tuning in, this is The Manny Show on Linden Radio. Today we're discussing boundaries and are they good for us and why do we need them? And even as Christians, what's the point of them? Are they a God thing? And so far what we're saying is that we really think that they don't limit us. They actually
free us.
Free us to do so much more in the type of person that God has created us to be. Mm-hmm. So we're talking a little bit about this is actually a choice to enjoy this freedom through the boundaries that God has put around us. You know, what are some choices that you need to make in your life that maybe might make you go against those boundaries or, you know, confuse your boundaries around you that God has for you, Sana?
Well, I think, I choose to be happy. I choose to see the good. I try and choose to see the good in
right.
people and to see the good in our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And, I choose to be uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to be, through what I can do and say, I want people to be convinced, if you can say it that way, to be the best version of them,
right.
themselves.
Right.
If they're Christian or not, it doesn't matter, you know, for me in that sense. I want people to see the joy in their own life, and I want people to be the best version of themselves.
And by you wanting them, you've chosen yourself to live that out in your life.
I choose to. And not saying I always succeed in it.
Oh, but let me say, being next to you for over 10 years, we've been, you know, dating and being married, you've been on such a journey where I can remember we'd have like arguments about you always, in my opinion, always, not always, you can't say always.
Let's just say that I was often told by my husband that I had the wrong attitude. And I did. So it's true. And I think it helped me. Like I think I've come a long way from that.
You so have, because you encourage me so much. And my daily struggles. And for me, mine is not so much because I am so optimistic. Maybe a little bit too much.
Sometimes. At least like 8 years ago, we were too optimistic sometimes.
But one of the things that I battle with is if things are not going the way that I can imagine them in my head with relationships or ministry or whatever I'm doing, I instantly have these insecurities of me feeling not worthy of what I'm doing or the relationships that I am or the responsibilities that I have. And it's not necessarily the people saying things directly at me, attacking me.
Because often they don't.
It's just how I feel. And so I have to battle on my head and make a choice that I'm not going to let the circumstances or those attacks or miscommunications define who I am in Christ and why God has me there doing whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It is a choice. And we choose Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is not just a person. He's a way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a life. He's the truth. He doesn't have the truth. He is truth. Amen?
Your parents wrote something.
Yeah, what did they write?
Your dad says, even God has his own boundaries. He operates within his own laws, which are countless.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilly, your mom, she says, boundaries are necessary for our relationship with God so that we don't allow evil forces to get in the way of our love for him.
Come on. Amen. You know, for those that are listening, God has good, pleasing, and perfect plans for your life. He has the best roadmap that he created in advance before you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes. He knew you. He formed you. And I just have some scriptures I'm going to read to you that will encourage you in knowing that to allow yourself to enjoy and explore the boundaries that God has for your life, because like Jesus says, he has come to give you life and life to the fullest. So these are a couple psalms. This is Psalms 139, 1 through 4. And it says, O Lord, you have searched me. and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path, there we go, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. And then in verse 16 it says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So he just knows. He sees the big picture because he's all knowing, and there is no time limit in him. He's before, present, and after. So he knows everything that is going to be perfect for your life. You know, those scientists that have those mazes and they put rats in them. You know, and they like see which directions they're going to go. They know, oh, the rat's probably going to go that way because I made the maze that way, and they have to go right now.
It has to go that way. You know what I mean? But God doesn't, like, he still lets us choose.
Cause yes.
I don't believe that God created one path, and if we don't stick to it, if we don't choose everything that he created for us, then it's too bad or we have to turn around.
Right.
I believe that whatever we, like, we can choose to go the clear path that he has created, and which will probably, like, is the best one for us because he created it for us. But I also believe that if we make a wrong turn or if we choose something that he didn't like necessarily plan for us or whatever, he can always make those turns into good turns.
And if you want to go really deep into that, he kind of knows how many wrong turns you're going to make. And he's already made ways for you to get back on the right track.
He still gives you choices to get back.
Yeah, exactly. All the way to the very, very end. You know, he's always giving us a way to him.
But obviously he doesn't, like you can see, like we did get free will. Mm-hmm. Because if we didn't get free will, everyone would be a believer. Everyone would, like, worship God.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wants for us. But he did give us a choice. So, yeah. But we have a choice. And we see that because people are taking different paths. Mm-hmm. So.
And he knows that the choices that we make, even though they might have been failures or wrong choices, all good things come to those who love him. All good things, whatever we've been through, whatever we experience, both good and bad, he can use for the better.
Mm-hmm.
My testimony of being a drug addict and living on the streets and doing stupid stuff, you know, and I was able to get out of it with his strength and his guidance has encouraged hundreds of people that I've met through the years.
And our relationship,
and
you
our
and
marriage,
me, but like we can talk about that at another time.
Another time, but our marriage is just a living testimony of how awesome God is, how forgiving, full of grace, full of love, and we have found favor in His eyes, and He's blessed us considerably, and we're still going strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what else is the Bible saying? It says right here, Matthew 10:29. It says that, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head, if you still have hair, are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That's Romans 11:29. Let me say that one. Just listen to this one. The gifts that he has for you, the calling that he has for your life are irrevocable. That means that no one can take them away. Once God has planted them in your life and you've chosen him, those gifts are yours. And the calling that he has on your life is yours because he gives life and life to the fullest. And I'll end with this scripture. To this end, we always pray for you. This is the church. This is Paul talking to the church in Thessalonians. He says, to this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. He's just epically into you having a life and life to the fullest and enjoying the freedoms that he puts in front of us through the boundaries. And even this is what's trippy for me, is that, you know, you said earlier that we naturally want to challenge our boundaries or see what's on the other side. You know, we think that there's always something more? When are our boundaries going to be extended? You know, we always have that desire naturally, right? Mm-hmm. But no one's imagination is too big for what God has already had in store. Jabez saying, please extend my territory, but I want it from you because you know how much I can handle. And even if I think I can't handle it, if it comes from you, I know you'll bless me with everything I need to have a fulfilled life with it. This other thing that I read was the prophet Ezekiel, and he saw a vision of the temple and a river flowing out of it, right? And God, the angel of the Lord, told Ezekiel, okay, now go, I think it was like so many feet out into the river, and it was like just above his ankles. Oh, I can handle being in the river, and the river is the Spirit of God. I can handle this, you know. Okay, let's measure a little bit further. I'll go out that far, and that was up to his knees. Oh, wow, this is really great, but I can also handle this, you know. And then even further, and every time they measured, it went a little bit deeper and deeper until he was submerged into the river where the water was over him, and yet he was still thriving. He was still able to see this vision that he was experiencing and expound on it and enjoy and be overwhelmed by it. So God's boundaries are actually much bigger than we can even handle. Mm-hmm. But if they're from him, if he expands them, then the vision and the direction that he has for us will get there. We'll see it fulfilled because it's from him.
Mm-hmm. He never gives us too much for us to handle.
No.
But enough to, yeah.
And even if we think it is too much, if it's from him, he's going to find a way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Our dreams that we have for doing some, you know, a new type of ministry in here, you can see it. I can't. I think it's too big. But if it's from God, he'll make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's just stuff like that. It's really, really cool. And I've learned to trust him with that stuff because I don't always understand. But I know if it's from him, then he'll make it happen. And we just got to go with the flow of the river.
And he made us a good team there because you have a lot of faith for like small things and stuff that I'm like, but it never happens, you know?
Yeah.
But when it comes to really big things that we don't see, like, coming any, like, not coming easy to us,
yeah.
Then I have, like, I know he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And you're, I'm you like, know he's going to do it too, but
okay.
You're like,
If he spoke to Santa, then I guess he spoke to me.
I speak to you, Manuel.
I speak to you. All right, we're going to play another Christmas song. And then we'll get back to you. This is Matt Mayer. O come, Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, who waterest all things mightily, to us the paths of knowledge show, and teach us in a ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, for unto
shall come to thee, O Israel.
O come, Manuel Chemis Del Gallo. O come, Emmanuel by Matt Mayer from his album with the same name. That's one thing about worship albums. A lot of times their album, there's also a song that has the same name. And that's like the most famous song on the album. So you have to say the name of the song, which is the name of the album, many times. Not too.
Yeah.
It's different than, you know, the secular world and the names of their songs.
I think often they have the same.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Okay. It's just don't often explain all those things with secular
music.
That's
probably true. I'm not a DJ at the other radio stations. Anyways, we're shortly coming to an end of our hour here on The Manu Show. We hope you have enjoyed our discussion when it comes to boundaries and how important they are for our lives and even from the plans that God has for our lives, how important they are, and that they don't limit us, but they actually help us grow and help us enjoy the freedoms that we have in life from Him. So I just want to end with this quote about this subject, and then we're going to close in prayer and end with a song. So we love you guys, and we want you to really enjoy this month and that we celebrate Jesus and Him being born, Him coming into this world for our sake. What an amazing story. Read the Christmas story. Enjoy this month with family and friends and just find the joy that you can have from the creator of the universe, from the creator of joy. And we were thinking about, in other news, we wanted to do some sort of competition.
We want to have a Christmas competition.
Yeah?
Next time.
Mm-hmm.
Where, we haven't thought of everything yet, but we know that the prize will be a Christmas present from us to put under your tree.
Yeah, from the Delgados.
Yeah, with love from the Delgado family.
So tune in next week. We'll have an awesome competition for you to get involved with, and there is a prize on the other side.
Yeps.
Here we go. Okay, I'm going to end with this quote. And so open your listening ears real good. As he writes, "Often in my life, I feel like a horse with blinders, just putting my head down and running as fast as I can to only end up right back where I started. God doesn't desire to put blinders on us. He doesn't treat us just as tools to accomplish tasks. He's about relationship with us. He's about guiding us and having vision for our lives. He longs to help us see ourselves, this world, and opportunities before us as He does, that we might gain wisdom and insight from them. Choose to be a person of vision. Choose to pick your head up and put on the lens of the Holy Spirit. Ask God questions. Inquire of Him about your life and opportunities. And in response, He will provide the leadership you need exactly how you need it." I like what he says right here. He says that he doesn't treat us just as tools to accomplish tasks, but it's about a relationship with us. The Bible says that we're co-workers with Him to accomplish the things that He's put on our life to do. He wants to journey with us to do it. And He's not saying, "Okay, I have a bunch of assignments for you. Make sure you do them all. And if you do, then you get to enter the pearly gates of heaven." He's like, no, this is a relationship. We're doing this together because I believe in you.
And there's the choice again.
Mm-hmm.
That we choose to.
Yeah, we choose to do it. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Yeah. Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for taking care of us and always being here for us. I pray that you will show us through this time of dark days and long nights of December. I pray that you show us your hand guiding us and your light in the darkness. And I pray that you show us how much of a light we are in this world, how much of a light we are in our schools and in our workplaces and in our families and friends. I pray that, you will just give us opportunities to do something extra for you. And I pray that you will give us a great Christmas gift of just joy and peace and for this the end of this year and to start off a great next year. Thank you for always taking care of us. And I pray that the listeners will be blessed by this hour that we've had here. I pray that the listeners will have motivation and have joy and have strength and an oomph for tonight. And I pray that they have a really good night. Amen.
Amen. Be blessed, y'all.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared in the soul. Felt its worth, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His life is love, and his gospel is peace. Change shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus rang.